Hi everyone, and welcome to what is still somehow episode 311 of the Mighty Whites podcast. We never uploaded it as a podcast for no reason, but for anyone that didn't see, we had two attempts at doing one last week, and KC's laptop shit the bed completely within a few minutes of both attempts. How's things, KC, and has your laptop been anything like up to scratch over the week in between?
I mean, it's been successfully running Football Manager 2007 for over a week now, so I'd say it's running pretty well.
Yeah,
I think it was just, I think my laptop realised the thought of having to praise Brendan Aaronson for any prolonged period of time was going to just end in tears anyway, so it just cut out the middleman.
Yeah, it knew that you having to admit that he was probably man of the match against West Ham might have resulted in a broken screen or something.
Yeah, but now we're down the line from that. I mean, I'm angry about the Brighton game, so it's fine.
Yeah, and, you know, he was shit in that game. Fortunately for him, so were like probably nine at least.
Yeah.
There was a, we'll just get into it. Brighton 3, Leeds 0. We've had a lot of games this season where we've come away from it pissed off because, you know, should have got more. Fulham, 93rd minute on goal. We deserved a point, didn't get one. Bournemouth, we should have won, conceded a late equaliser. We definitely deserved something against Spurs and got beat. This was completely not that. 3-0, more than fair, could have been more. We were second best all over the pitch for 90 minutes.
Yeah, I'm not the sort of person who brings up momentum charts. There was not a lot of momentum for Leeds.
No, it was really one-sided. It was just one of the, you knew 10 minutes in what was happening in this game, unfortunately. I think
within those 10 minutes we were 1-0 down.
I actually can't remember how early that goal was. But it felt inevitable. I've just checked. It was the 11th minute. yeah, it just felt inevitable. There was only Okafor that I thought looked up to much. And even he, like, he wasn't amazing. He was just the only threat that we had. And when that many are that bad, and the tactics just, you know, why are we playing out from the back against one of the best pressing teams in the league who also have a talent advantage over us?
I think they'll never expect it, Jack.
I just think that as much, you know, the players were poor, but I think that one's a Farker one. So if you can hear that, there is a cat trying to climb into a box underneath my desk.
Yeah, first and foremost, I think it's entirely expected what we did, because again we don't change,
but we did against Bournemouth and it worked really well.
did we panicked for a fair while and then after a while got bored and started hitting it long.
DCL didn't get a sniff, did he?
No, and it's as much as I would like to say I'm very concerned about his lack of goals in this and our lack of goals generally, if you don't give him service in games, he's not going to create anything. This is the sort of game where I'd have been looking at thinking, clearly Dan James was not fit enough for the 90 minutes. Fair enough.
And as much as you did admit it, this was the one time where Aaronson had a good game the game before. So, fair enough.
You know, I just think at games like this, like, look, we are going to be under pressure. Do you not just have two deep sitting midfielders, get Pirou on and just play off Calvert-Lewin and have someone there to feed off him? And you just only have the four attacking, maybe a fullback joins, but no, it was the same tactics as normal, and we were beaten by a good team.
Yeah, that is one thing. I like Brighton. I thought played pretty well, but I don't think they were amazing either. Like if they have those games every now and then, Brighton, where you do watch them and think, wow, these might come forth. And I don't think this was one of them. I can't get past the fact that I think it was almost like we went out of our way to play into their hands. And then on top of that, we did it badly.
Brighton went through us like a hot knife through air.
Yeah. I knew you weren't going to say butter. I just didn't know what you were going to say. Thought you might have said water.
You watched the three goals, and look, I'm going to tell you each of the three goals now. Someone gets wide, plays it across the 6-yard box, and someone's there to put it in.
Yeah.
Like, I've described all three goals to you in there.
Yeah, it wasn't good.
It was very, you know, FIFA tactics of the late 2000s.
Yeah, when kids would describe those goals in ways that they really shouldn't have when you think about it.
Yeah, a sweaty goal.
Yeah, we'll go with the sweaty goal because that's a much nicer one.
Yeah. Yeah, and also, you know, global conflicts notwithstanding. It was so simple.
Yeah, and it was that simple for all the goals, and that, like, if not for Perry, computer started playing something or yours?
No, apparently my Google Assistant has decided to start having a chat as well.
Okay, well, so, I mean, you know, obviously it stays in, we don't edit these. Perry made some decent saves, it could have been worse. Like...
Yay!
Like, that was, that and Okafor having a bit of threat are probably the only couple of positives.
Yeah, I now count myself as fortunate that I was working during this game, so I only saw 50 to 60% of it.
Yeah.
And I think I might have been quite lucky in that.
Yeah, I've had games like that before where you have got it on while you're working, but it stops you paying as much attention. And then someone talks to you after the game and goes, God, that was so bad. And you're like, it seemed it, but I couldn't tell quite as much because I wasn't fully invested.
It felt like every time I looked up, we misplaced a pass.
Yeah. And that poor performance and poor result, plus West Ham beating Newcastle, as everyone's arse is nipping again. And is that a fair reaction to it, do you think? Or
is it a must-win now tomorrow?
Well, Farker was asked that in the press conference today. I don't know if you've seen any of it.
Yeah, and it's only the last game of the season if we need a point, could you describe as a mustn't lose?
Well, I liked what he said. So, like, this is the 11th game of the season. I think it's the 7th time I've been asked that. Which, you know, fair enough, Daniel, you have a point.
Yeah.
Having said that, I do think it's probably must not lose.
I think we will, though.
Yeah, me too.
I think the problem is, one, I feel that they... Are we just morphing into the Forest game now? Have we just moved on?
Yeah, that's absolutely that. I'm fine with us breezing past the rest of Brighton being a shit performance from us.
Yeah, like, I feel like getting Dyche in will, one, bring the defensive level of Forest back up to what you would expect it to be.
He's kept... let me just check in. He's kept 2 clean sheets in 4.
Yeah, there you go.
Admittedly, both of us were in the Europa League.
Hmm. I don't necessarily mean clear. I know they've become a bit of a soft touch from set pieces as well, which I imagine is one of those things he'll want to get ironed out fairly quickly.
Yeah.
And I really hope they don't, because, you know, we're quite big on set pieces. I don't think tactically it's what we should be big on, but we're quite reliant on them.
Physically, it's what we are.
Yeah. The hope is that you're still catching them early enough before he gets them sorted.
Yeah,
because he doesn't.
I was going to say, the one thing that is the case for that, like, he took them over midweek, and in those couple of weeks they've had 2 European games, so he won't have had he won't have had much time on the training ground with him.
No, and I also know, I think for the game midweek this week, there was like 7 or 8 changes to the team.
Yeah, I did have a brief look at that. But what we'll say is, the defence, 3 of the 4 that have been starting the league games Didn't. The only thing that we changed, Morato played at centre back instead of Maria. But it was different goalkeeper and basically different everything else. And so he did keep most of the back four together.
Yeah, and then he's keeping it fairly close to him whether Chris Wood will be fit or not.
It sounded pretty unlikely in his press conference today. He basically implied that him and Hudson-Odoi would be after the international break.
Yeah, I mean, one, I hope that's true. But they do have other good attacking players.
Yeah, well, if they don't have Chris Wood, it will be that Igor Jesus, who I keep nearly calling Igor Thiago.
Well.
Because there shouldn't be two of them. It's confusing. But they've also, against Sturm Graz, they played that Arno Calamwendo as the nine.
Yeah.
And there's also the option to play him off the left in place of Hudson-Odoi if he's not fit. But the attacking talent is more in the three behind, I think. Like, it'll be Dan and Doy on the right, Gibbs White at 10. And as Hudson-Odoi's out, probably Dominguez or James McAtee on the left. And then you know, with them and Calamwendo, that's a good core of like three behind the striker players.
I think the not just the fact that Man United got something off there is a little bit of you kind of watching that game that going, they've actually picked themselves up here in the second half. It's, and I was kind of wishing they weren't at the point where they could do that now. But yeah, like you kind of looking at the team they put out for that, and it's a decent team. And you know, I think I was listening to Don't Go to Bed Just Yet earlier on today, and I think I kind of agree with Simon Ricks. It's last year was very much an overachievement. This year is very much an underachievement. Like a squad that probably should be 12th.
It's almost as if it's a squad that's been fucked around by an owner and are on the third manager of the season in November.
Yeah.
Because like the Forest fans were, from what I've had a look, they were pretty pissed off after the Sturm Graz 0-0 last night. They only had two shots on target, and that includes having a penalty saved. Like, it really wasn't good going forward. But also, they're ready to be pissed off at everything. Because all of this is so self-inflicted that their default setting right now is pissed off, which is, as much as I hate Forrest, not an unreasonable reaction.
I mean, not to highlight football owners in a certain light, but the idea that you've somehow managed to lead a team to its greatest height since the 80s and then gone, but I don't like that guy.
Yeah.
So bollocks to this.
Well,
like it's like there is. I always go back to when I read Why England Don't Win, or Soccernomics, as it is, I think, outside the UK. And the idea that if any other business was run on the whims of, I just don't like that guy, but we're being successful, that doesn't matter, get rid of him. Like, it just, there is no other business than sports that just runs in that sort of manner.
Yeah, at least not that can really get away with it. And I mean, but Marinakis is just insane. Like, you know, he's obviously not going to do this, but like, if, and this won't happen, I don't think, but if Leeds turned up a 1-3-0, you would start seeing the stories, oh, he's under pressure, he's dodge.
Yeah.
Because that's just how bad it is. I mean, their owner is a bit like the Leeds fan base, just really
emotionally unstable.
Yeah, a bit unstable. Just that he's a lot worse for reasons that you can Google yourselves. they've been 4-2-3-1 every game under Dyche. So I assume that will stay the same. Obviously, we've talked about it'll be Igor Jesus up top and the three behind that are very good. They don't look as strong at the back as they did before. But I do like the centre-back pairing, Milenkovic and Murillo.
Yeah, I do think there was... I think probably, again, going back to what I said earlier, those two especially, I think were playing probably having the season of their lives together last year. I know Murillo came in for a lot of praise.
Well, he just looks really good, and he's also fun. Like, he's a good watch. Like, he puts himself about, he defends well, but he also is quite tricky on the ball, and I'd be surprised if he doesn't attempt a 35, 40-yard shot at some point in the game. He normally does. Although Sean Dyche is probably a bit more against that than his previous managers.
Big fella, let's rein that in.
Does one after 20 minutes and gets subbed immediately.
Yeah, I mean, they do have a decent, you know, I do like that team. I do think kind of in the, as much as I hate the let's all start swapping our youngsters for profit and sustainability purposes, Elliot Anderson has been a brilliant pickup for them.
Yeah, it's worked out well for him. It's been him and Douglas Luiz as sort of a preferred partnership under Dyche, but Douglas Luiz has been injured. Like, he probably would have got rotated for the Sturm Graz game anyway, but apparently he has been struggling with an injury. So that leaves him with either Ibrahim Sangare or Ryan Yates, and Ryan Yates feels like a Sean Dyche player. So I think that's who it'll be if Douglas Luiz isn't fit. If he does play, if you do those bet builder things, him for a card is probably fair. He loves a card, does Ryan Yates?
Yeah. Sorry, I was just trying to figure out where Maxwell Cornet is now.
Apparently. I literally no idea. Barely, mate. The one thing when I looked at their team, Nicola Savona's played right back the last three games, and I'm going to be honest, I don't think I've ever actually watched him play a game. So, no idea. But Nico Williams left back. Zinchenko's been injured because in the first game he played Nico Williams right back and Zinchenko at left back. But Zinchenko's been out and he's listed as a doubt for this, as is Olerainer. Nico Williams is good, but if Dan James is fit and Farke has said he is fit to start and he plays, Dan James getting away from Nico Williams might be about our best shot, I think.
And then just a bit of end product.
Yeah.
You get Premier League Dan James. I think that's probably a change that should happen.
Yeah. I was going to come on to visit the set, but it just came up then. So I just went to it. Yeah, I absolutely think Dan James has, if he's actually fit to start, start him.
Yeah. I think the other question you have now is the midfield three and how you line them up, because I think Longstaff did not have a good game against Brighton.
Ampadu was pretty awful. He's not going to drop him because he's captain, but he was awful.
I'm deliberately just not mentioning Ampadu in this conversation. Tanaka, I'm still a little bit unsure of, and I don't know if part of his struggle has been his trying to play catch up with fitness a bit for it, and also getting used to the speed of it. There is part of me does look and just think, and I can't believe I'm the one saying this, Brendan Aaronson as one of the midfield three might not be the worst idea in the world.
It might not be the worst idea in the world, but I think it might be in the top 10 worst ideas in the world. I think if he goes into a midfield three in the Premier, you think he gets bullied now?
I think
just
for me, though,
you wait.
in my head, it more defaults into a 4-2-3-1.
Yeah, I can't see him doing that. I don't think he will either.
I think
he will drop Tanaka, and I think he'll bring Stack back in because I think he's going to play James, and I think he's going to let James and Okafor stay that little bit higher and have the more defensive midfield three.
Yeah, don't worry. Big Michael Tong's back there to help us out.
Yeah. The
does look like Michael Tong. Like, the more I see him, I just think, God, he's Michael Tong, but big.
You see, I haven't noticed that, but you know what? I'm like, I never notice things like that. There was an interesting thing, because have you seen the team news out of the press conference earlier? Because I know you've been at work.
I'm aware of the next adductor injury.
But obviously, I missed the first 5 minutes of the press conference, so I didn't hear him service. BBC, on the transcript, it says abductor. Was it abductor or was it adductor?
I believe it's adductor.
Okay, because those are different things.
Yes.
But, yeah, now Farker does have previous for making something like this bigger than it is in a press conference and then playing them.
Hmm.
But I'm going to assume he's not fit for now. So, Metcher?
Yes.
You can't play Peru as a long striker. You just can't.
No, you can't. I don't think you can play Joel Peru in any formation where there isn't a number 10.
Yeah.
I could live with it if there was a number 10 there. I still don't think it would work well. But, I mean, if anything, he should be the 10.
Yeah, he basically, in the Premier League, would need to be part of the front two, wouldn't he? Yeah. Whether it's actually a two or one behind the other, it has to be two bodies.
Yeah, that's what I'll tell you. We go with this 6-4 formation. I honestly, bin off the midfield. I don't care what ass man says that the midfield we're being overrun in midfield. Like, just Joel Peru gets the knockdowns.
We'll do the meme where it's, you know, stops goals, scores goals, magically ball moves from one side of the pitch to the other. will be the meme. There was one in, obviously, Calvert-Lewin being out. Also, Bornau was probably injured, but I don't think that one really makes a difference. The thing that I found most interesting, did you hear what he said about Nonto?
No.
Right. Nonto has been back in training for 2 weeks. Quote, "So we will see if we take him. It's not a risk anymore as he is back in training." Which suggests to me that he wasn't in the Brighton squad at all, not because of fitness, but just because Farker didn't fancy him.
We don't have attacking wingers, man.
Yeah. And considering the options were Aronson and Harrison with Okafor, if he didn't take him to Brighton just because, I don't fancy it, that seems insane to me.
It really does feel, right? I know. We all know. He shouldn't have done what he did, right? Yeah. He shouldn't have done what he did at the start of the other season.
Yeah, where he had a bit of a paddy and...
But if you don't like him, sell him. Don't keep him. We even sent Max Werber out on loan again. He's broken. He's not coming back. Look, why?
It's why I never
even...
This whole
thing at the back end of last season, just play him at 10. Yeah, but you see Brendan, right? No, not Brendan.
Yeah. Because, I mean, you know, yeah, Mano Solomon got that goal. What is it? But, like, the other goal happened too. He's a good player.
The idea that, I've said it so many times, the idea that he was our best player for a good part of that relegation season.
As an 18-year-old kid.
And yes, it did get to a point where he got a bit found out because, a bit like Crescencio, he just loved a cut inside. But the fact we went down and he got less playing time than in the Premier League was absolutely baffling.
Mm.
Now, again, like you say, you've got Solomon, Dan James having the seasons of their lives. Grand. You couldn't tell me from January that wasn't worth, like, 5 games of Nonto at 10 just to see.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's why I just was like, just play Dan James. One, I think that he's not... I think he's a good shout for this game. But, like, the front three that I do want to see does involve Nonto on the right and Okafor on the left. I'd quite like to see that. But I don't think there's any chance of that happening.
That clearly not now.
So, yeah, play Dan James. I assume rest will be similar to what he did. Perry, Bogle, Roden, Beall, Goodmanson. And yeah, Ampadu is definite. I think it'll be Stack and Longstaff in the rest of midfield. Who do you reckon?
Yeah, I think you're about right. That's been the preferred.
I think Longstaff basically stays in because what did you say earlier about his corners being his biggest threat, one of his biggest threats at the minute? Who's taking him?
Mm. Ha! Anton Stack.
Yeah.
I can't see Tanaka staying in, and I can't see Ilya Gruev getting a wild start out of nowhere.
No. So, yeah. And then I do think it'll be James Metcher Okafor. But I'm not going to be surprised if Aronson starts. Like, we've learned this. He loves him.
Oh, God.
Who do you think Daniel Farke loves more? Brendan Aronson or his son?
I thought you were going to say Josh Sargent at first, but...
Oh, no, fair. Well, that's his other son.
Yeah. Oh, God. It's... You know, on the day when someone gets sacked, and it won't be the tactics, it won't be the why didn't we kick on at West Ham to get a few more. It will just be, why did you play Brendan Aronson that much?
Yeah.
That like, it was a lot. Be.
And by the way, God, I hope Brendan Aronson plays like he did against West Ham. And just, if he does play and he has a right game, because nothing would make me happier than to be wrong.
Look, as bitter and twisted as I am, I'm not against him playing well. Like, I don't dislike him so much that I wish he plays badly. Because ultimately, it's counterproductive.
Yeah.
You know. But there very much comes a point when talent is an issue.
Yeah. And I do think that's where we are. Whereas Dan James sometimes technically can be a bit limited and stuff, but he's rapid, and I do think there'll be spacing behind down that flank. So I want him in. Only me and Alex got points from the Brighton game. He had a 2-0 loss, I had 2-1. And I've got everyone's predictions in for this one. Little Danny has a 1-0 win. Connie has a 2-1 win. They're always the optimists. Benny won a piece. Alex, 3-1 defeat. What have you got, Casey?
I have 2-1 defeat.
I have a 1-0 defeat. And you know what? I think we're going to be the better side in this game. I think this will be one where we come away pissed off because we've missed chances and got into good areas and really wasteful final ball, all of that stuff. I think this is going to be one of them. And I really hope not. I'm dying for us to just, you know, what we'd give for a comfortable win. Because we are, like, going into the season, if you'd have said to me, oh, you've got 11 points from your first 10 and you're 16th, I'd have been like, no, all right, that puts them with a shout. But I just keep looking at this game and then Villa at home with basically the end of November and December coming after it. And I just think we need a minimum of 3 points from these two games and maybe four. Because I can't see us getting much at all for the rest of the year. And that scares me. Because I know that they beat us 2-0 and deserve to beat us. But there's only Burnley and Wolves that I'm like, no, I'm pretty confident they're going to be two that go down. But then if it's so tight, and every other one of those teams in that tight area that I think we're going to be in, I look at their team and go, they've got better attacking options than us. Every single one of them.
I just keep telling myself little things, just going, it's okay though, because we've still got to play Burnley and Wolves at home, and that'd be nice.
Yeah.
And that, like, if we win those two, like, in my head, it's like, win those two, grand, 37 points. Well done, lads.
Yeah, magic happens.
there's some maths missing in the middle somewhere, but yeah, it's like, yeah, we've got these to play at home, and Liverpool aren't, you know, what they were last year, and Mo Salah can run a lot, but is he that good anymore? Probably is the answer.
Yeah, the answer is yes.
Yeah. It's a tough one because you look at the position they're in and the start they've had, and there is a part of me thinks I would really like us to go for this, and then there is the other part going, they actually have a decent squad here, and a point away from home probably isn't the worst result.
Well, I mean, we're on about those players like Igor Jesus up top wasn't that much money, but that was partly because there's Andy van Botafogo and there's, let's say, a relationship there.
Hmm.
Ndoye was 40 million. Gibbs White was, I mean, he was, what, 30 odd million a while ago and was going for 50 or 60 in the summer before Marinakis stepped in. If Colomendo plays, he was 25, 30 million. Obviously, Chris Wood's injured, but they are all. Hudson-Odoi's the weird one because he was about 3.5 million quid because he'd fallen so out of favour. But like their options in the attacking areas are really good footballers. But like if we can defend like we did for most of the season, they don't scare me that much. But I still think their attack compared to ours, theirs looked way better. And that's why I worry.
Yeah. And again, the concern for me is just that we just won't get people close enough to Calvert-Lewin or Metcha to like hold the ball up for anything.
I would say in terms of that, if it is Metcha instead of Calvert-Lewin, I'm not too worried. I mean, Calvert-Lewin is better in the air than Metcha. But Metcha getting to the ball first and hold-up play when he has had a chance to play has been really good.
Yeah, it's just getting the players around him. That's always my concern with this system at the moment is that you have two wide players who they only really come inside when they have possession. And I mean, Dan James now will very much stick to the wing.
Well, that's the argument for Nonto.
Yeah.
Now, he ain't going to do it, but that's the argument for Nonto to start, that he will come inside a bit more and pick up those areas a little bit more.
Yeah. Like, you know, if we can find Metchup, great, but he's got to have the support there. And it's not been forthcoming so far. But I do, but again, I think that's more tactics than personnel at the moment.
Yeah. Well, hopefully we're wrong and we're doing a podcast next week and talking about how what a massive result that was.
Yeah,
but we'll see. So yeah, that will do us for our third attempt at episode 311 of the Mighty Whites podcast. I've been Jack, see ya.
I'm Casey, have a good one.
In a bit.